Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In 2007, he was ordained a priest for the Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priests. These priests are known as canons, based on their specific lifestyle and mission. Since 2015, he has served as the provincial superior for the Institute's American province, which now serves in 25 dioceses throughout the United States. His name, Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico. Reverend, what an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's a great honor to be here.
As we embark on the 40 days of Lent next Wednesday, can you please lead us in an opening prayer?
Gladly, let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. To the intercession of the Blessed Mary, the Virgin, and of Saint Joseph, may the Lord grant us health, our body, mind, and soul. May the Lord grant us strength in our labors and patience in our trials. May the Lord help us to grow in faith, hope, and charity, to do His will with patience and perseverance each and every day, by His grace and with His joy. And may the blessing of Almighty God come upon us. Benedicat nos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Yes, I'm blessed with dear parents that grew up in the Pittsburgh area, Lewis and Judith, lifelong Catholics, and gave me the best gift they could ever give me by having me baptized on Easter Sunday, 1981. And then to raise me in the faith, to teach me the importance of living our Catholic traditions, living our Catholic customs in our home. And we live 1 mile from my parish church, so I was able to serve Mass growing up. And they sent me to very good Catholic schools, a parochial school, and also a boarding school for high school. So I'm very grateful to my parents and get to spend time with them, not as frequently as I would like since I travel so much for the Institute, but they're always near and dear to my heart, and I'm forever grateful to them.
We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico. Canon, when was it that you realized I have a vocation to the priesthood?
Well, my father was in the minor seminary in the 1960s, and of course those were difficult years. He discerned out of that program, but he kept in the spirit, that spirit within the family, that spirit of prayer. And so really, the oldest son, it looked like my father, act like him a lot, talk like him, and I guess he passed on that vocation in some way to me. So at a young age, I loved to serve Mass. I love to read about the lives of the saints. I love the Stations of the Cross. If Jesus suffered so much for me, then I want to give him back something in return. So the Stations had a profound impact on me, too.
All right. You could have joined the Diocese of Pittsburgh. You could have been an Augustinian like Pope Leo. You know, you could have been a Franciscan, etc. How was it you decided that you wanted to be with the Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priests?
Well, I was really attracted to St. Francis de Sales, our patron saint. It's a very warm spirituality. He's the doctor of divine charity. And St. Francis de Sales teaches us how a holy life is a happy life, and you really can't be happy unless you're sincerely trying to be holy. So I was very much intrigued by this spirituality that inspired Don Bosco to found the Salesian Order to take care of the education of boys. And so reading St. Francis de Sales, understanding how accessible this spirituality is as well, that drew me to the Institute. When I visited the Institute and assisted at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass offered in the traditional Latin Rite, I was very moved. I had been serving the traditional Latin Mass for a few years during high school. And at the end of high school, I decided that I wanted to discern a vocation by celebrating this liturgy. And with the Institute's Salesian spirituality, I came right to the Institute right out of high school and did that time of discernment. And in those opening months, I found that this is indeed what the Lord wanted for my life.
The seminary you went to was in Florence, Italy.
Yes.
Were all the courses in Italian?
Well, we do speak Italian there, but actually our courses are in French because it's an international language. The Institute has served since the very beginning in Gabon and in French-speaking Africa, and we serve currently in 30 dioceses throughout France. St. Francis de Sales wrote in French, and so we could read the works of our patron in his native language. And so French is our lingua franca there, but we have men from 27 different nationalities that study or have studied there at our international seminary right outside of Florence.
Blessed Silanus Casey.
Yes.
He was a special kind of priest because they thought he was dumb, because he didn't know Latin or German when he went to the seminary. And because of that, he couldn't give a homily or do confessions. He could just be the doorman. When you went to Florence, Italy, did you know French? Did you know Latin?
Well, I was blessed to study Latin throughout high school, so I had a good foundation in the Latin language. And before the men of the Institute go to our seminary in Italy, it's a seven-year program over there. They have a year of preparation in the United States. They live with our priests. They pray with our priests. They see what being a priest is like in the Institute. And also was working on the study of the French language. And so I had tutors. I spent a couple hours a day learning French. So I had a working knowledge of it. Of course, it's not like being immersed. But once I got there to the seminary, I was able to get that full immersion experience during the first year.
We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico, who was ordained in 2007.
Yes.
Into the Institute of Christ the King, Sovereign Priest. We're going to ask him about that institute. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico. If you want to learn more, www.institute-christ-king.org. All right. The Institute of Christ the King, Sovereign Priest. Please.
Yes, well, the founders of our institute were ordained to the priesthood by Pope St. John Paul II in 1979, and they, Monsignor Gilles Vach and Canon Philippe Mora, were born in France but lived most of their lives in Italy. And upon their ordination in Rome, they worked in Rome for the Congregation of Clergy under Cardinal Oddi in the 1980s and studied at the Angelicum. And they were encouraged by Cardinal Oddi and other Roman cardinals and prelates to found a community that would offer to men a traditional Roman formation for the priesthood. And the community was canonically erected in 1990, again, from the beginning serving in Gabon, Africa. And our seminary was founded in Florence, Italy. That's where the Cardinal Archbishop of Florence welcomed the Institute. And from the very beginning, it was a community that was helping men to celebrate the traditional liturgy according to the 1962 Missal. Also, a community life of prayer, chanting the Divine Office morning and evening. And then also with the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, serving souls in a pastoral ministry, preaching retreats, hearing confessions, doing spiritual direction, serving in a parochial setting. But in time, there were men who came to the Institute to be oblate brothers, men who wanted to live this this spiritual life, this clerical life, but without going on to the seminary and to priesthood. So the oblate brothers were born in the late 90s. Then in the early 2000s, women came to the Institute that wanted to live a spiritual life with St. Francis de Sales and our patrons in the traditional liturgy. And so the Sisters Adorers of the Royal Heart of Jesus, that is the female branch of the Institute, were found in the early 2000s. So there really is a spiritual family, including men and women living consecrated life.
All right. The motto of your Institute, taken from St. Paul, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, is live the truth in charity.
Yes.
Now, it was echoed by your patron, St. Francis de Sales, who instructed, quote, cook the truth in charity until it tastes sweet. Please.
Indeed. Well, the infant Jesus really embodies that beautiful spirituality, living the truth in charity. We see how God, our God of eternal truth, became a little child to show us how his truth is good for us. He didn't want to overwhelm us with the truth, but he wanted to show its beauty. He wanted to attract us to it rather than commanding us to love him. And so he became a child. A child who's so accessible and so moving for our hearts. And so what we try to do in the Institute is to present the truth of our faith, present it complete and entire through the liturgy, through spirituality, but to do so in a joyful way of St. Francis de Sales, underlining how this spirituality is possible for us. It's accessible. It will bring a joy and happiness to our hearts that nothing else in this world can. And so we do that through the beauty of the liturgy, the beauty of the arts as well. When you look at architecture and music and poetry and literature throughout the history of the church, all of this visible and audible beauty attracts us to that spiritual truth, which is, you know, we can't see or hear it, but we can through beauty. And so we understand how wonderful that truth really is for us by its beauty and the loving way in which that truth is presented.
We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico. If you want to learn more, institute-christ-king.org. You're in 12 countries, 150 priests, 115 seminarians. You run America, 25 dioceses. So that's the current picture. You're not called a priest. You're called a canon, C-A-N-O-N. Why?
Well, throughout the history of the church, beginning with St. Augustine, there were clerics who lived together in community so that they could pray together, the divine office, morning and evening and midday, and shared a common table. But they were not monks. They had this common life of prayer and community, so then they could go out and serve people's spiritual needs by preaching retreats, teaching, research and writing, doing parochial work, preaching parish missions in different places. And so this common life of the secular clergy is something that has existed throughout many centuries. And the Institute, the word canon refers to that way of life in the church. It's, I guess one could say, loosely speaking, halfway between being a monk and being a diocesan priest. Like monks, we live together in community so we can pray the divine office and give glory to God and intercede for the needs of people. And then, like a diocesan priest, we serve in a parochial setting. We have a shrine, an oratory, a parish, and we offer, of course, Mass and confessions daily for people. We also have a lot of activities for youth, like summer camps and different youth activities to teach the faith to our youth. We have a lot of young people in our churches. And also, we do preach parish missions in a spirit of St. Francis de Sales. We visit the sick and the hospitals. We have dinners with families in their homes and bless their homes and have conversations with them about the faith in that more family-like setting. Really, we want to be like St. Francis de Sales, all things to all men, as St. Paul said. When we pray the collect for the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, we said that de Sales was all things to all men. And so the Institute, we want to serve the church, work together under our Holy Father with our bishops and taking care of whatever particular missions the bishop wants us to take care of on the local level.
You run America, 25 dioceses, coast to coast. How many frequent flyer miles do you have? Or do you have a private jet?
Well, I have lots of status with several different airlines because whatever's going to get me to that particular place within the brief time span that I have, I will fly that that company, or I have a Chevy that will just take me wherever I need to go as well. We serve in a lot of places, like in the Northeast or in the Midwest, which are pretty accessible by car, you know, going between those different dioceses. But what's beautiful is, you know, we bring that spirit of Rome, that spirit of Romanitas, with the traditional Roman liturgy and the spirituality of De Sales. But everywhere, wherever we go, whatever region, whatever city, many people come. You could be in rural Ohio preaching a parish mission. You'll get a couple hundred people show up for Mass and a talk on St. Francis De Sales. The spirituality that we bring, it brings more and more people. Since 2020 and all those events of that year, we've seen an uptick. There's a lot more people in all the pews in our churches across the country. Many men coming and wanting to discern a vocation, either to the priesthood or to be a brother. So we really see in all these different places that many souls are attracted to this charism of the traditional Roman liturgy and the spirit of St. Francis de Sales.
Or just to be clear, every Mass that you say or any of your fellow canons say around the world is the extraordinary form Mass, the Latin Mass that we all went to prior to the mid-60s.
Yes, it's the Missal according to the 1962 edition. And also we chant the Divine Office a morning and evening. Of course, pray the whole office daily privately. That's also in the traditional form with the Divine Office, 1962.
Why the Latin Mass? Why not the English Mass?
Well, the traditional Roman liturgy really brings people together from all different backgrounds. At our Masses, on a pews, on any given day, we have people whose native languages could be a whole variety. We have a lot of, people who speak Spanish. We have a lot of Filipinos, people from a variety of different countries around the world. I remember celebrating a wedding early in my priesthood where the man was French and the woman was Japanese. So Latin really brings people together. And also it helps us to be united to our rich traditions of our history. Look at the many saints that pray this traditional Mass. At the same time, people are really attracted to the sacred nature of the Latin. Remember that at the time of our Lord, who spoke Aramaic, there was in the temple the Hebrew language. So there was a special language which was Kadosh, which was set aside, which was extraordinary for use in the temple worship, while it was different than what people spoke on a daily basis. So the sacred language is really something extraordinary that draws us out of the normal and the routine to really give us a little glimpse of heaven and to remind us that we're brothers and sisters of a universal church, universal across every land on earth, but also universal because it ties us in with so many generations of our forefathers in the faith.
We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico. Next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the 40 days of Lent. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico. And since 2015, he served as the Provincial Superior for the Institute's American Province. Canon, what is Lent?
Lent is a spiritual journey. Just like our Lord fasted in the desert, we are also called to a fast, whether it's from food or drink, but also fasting with our five senses, as St. Francis de Sales tells us. And this fasting helps us to get away from what is superfluous in our life, what is maybe taking us away from the Lord, those trifles and trinkets, which sadly we often prefer to His love and His friendship. And it's also time for us to really form a habit that's going to change our life for the better, sanctify our life, not only up until Easter, but throughout the rest of the year. You actually only know if you had a good Lent if come November, December, you're still living that good habit that hopefully you will have contracted during the Lenten season.
How can I make this my best Lent ever?
First of all, look at what the Lord has entrusted to you. Think of your vocation in life. the people who depend upon you, and choose one particular resolution for the love of God by which you will be able to live that vocation, live those duties in a better way. Might be very difficult, might be quite the challenge, but really pick one particular resolution. When you go on a journey, I said that Lent is a journey, you can't pack too much because you're not going to be able to go anywhere if you're weighed down with all these bags. And also, you've got to get rid of all the superfluous stuff you really don't need on that journey. So pick one particular resolution. It's going to help you to be a better Catholic with the people around you. And then pick a particular devotion that's going to inspire you to live that resolution. For example, you might just want to pray one of the Stations of the Cross every day. It just takes 3-4 minutes to pray one station. It will take you about 2 weeks to do that, but pick one particular station, pray that in the morning in a union with our Blessed Mother, the Sorrowful Mother, and then ask for the grace you need to follow through with that one resolution and stay faithful to that.
All right. St. Joseph's Shrine started 152 years ago down in the Eastern Market District, right off Gratiot. The actual address is 1828 J Street. Iconic church. It had been abandoned for 30 years. And in October of 2016, Archbishop Vigneron says, come reopen this church. Tell us about St. Joseph's Shrine.
Yes. Well, when we arrived at St. Joseph's Shrine, there were weekly masses there, but just for a few people. And also the iconic steeple was in great disrepair. It was actually kind of wrapped in sort of a cellophane temporary fix just so it wouldn't fall over. So the time was ticking already by the time we arrived. And so the first thing we did was let's build up the living stones of this community. So by offering a full program of liturgies and also devotions and a lot of talks about the traditional Catholic faith, and also being outgoing to our community, working with our food pantry, bringing the beauty music to this church. We really built up a community of living stones, and that enabled us to be able to stabilize the tower and to start to beautify the campus. And that put us forward now on where we're at with the whole restoration of the whole church that we intend to do over the next 5 years, according to our master plan. So we came with a great spirit of that's always animated Detroit. From the ashes, they will resurrect. They will return, right? And so we were great confidence in Archbishop Vigneron and our community. We had previously served under him in California in his previous diocese where he was bishop, and so we had that friendship, that relationship that really helped us in the early days to get started.
If you want to learn more, saint-joseph.org. All right, the St. Joseph Shrine is the oldest and the youngest parish in the Archdiocese of Detroit. That's something Yogi Berra would say. Think about that, the oldest and the youngest. On a given weekend, do you ever get 100 people total to come to this Latin Mass?
Yes. Well, as a shrine, we drop people from all over the whole Detroit metro area and sometimes beyond. On Sundays, we have about 1,000 people are served at St. Joseph's every week. It's not always the same people. Some people come all the time. Some people come once or twice a month or on special feast days. But we typically serve about 1,000 people per week and impact that many more, at least on a monthly basis across the area.
We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Reverend Canon Matthew Tellerico. St. Joseph's Shrine was established in 1855, a historic German Catholic church in the Eastern Market, Lafayette Park neighborhood area. All right, you have 7 a.m. Mass on Sunday, 9, and then 11.
Yes.
And you say you got 1,000 people.
Yes, also because we offer confessions before and sometimes during those Masses, if need be. So many people come because they want that accessibility to the sacrament of confession and penance. And there's also great spirit of community. We have activities after Mass for families that can meet people of like mind and children of like mind. So there are many things on Sundays, but also during the week with various feast days. St. Joseph's Day, which is coming up on March 19th, is a big day of pilgrimage. Many people come from far and wide to share in the Masses, the processions, the meals, the novena devotions we have. People coming asking for St. Joseph's intercession for their family, for their employment, for the church and for our world.
All right, Canon, let's get real. 1,000 people every Sunday. That's like Christmas every Sunday. Okay? It's Latin Mass. All these people must be in their 70s and 80s.
No, there's many, many children. We have many future choir members you can hear during the Mass chiming in. Many babies and many baptisms. Just here in January, we had, I think, about a dozen baptisms alone during this past month of January, and also many weddings. And not just people that come as a destination, but people that come to get married there because they want to start their whole sacramental life with their family with St. Joseph's as its focal point. So there's people of all ages, all different ethnic backgrounds and professions that all kneel side by side there, shoulder to shoulder, to communion rail to receive our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. But so many children. We have also a children's choir. We have a homeschool co-op as well that meets on Wednesdays around our midday Mass and Novena to St. Joseph every Wednesday. So there's many. We also have catechism classes that are taught by the priest, so the priest is able to pass on the faith in a paternal way to the children. So there's many activities also with our young adult group that meets very frequently. We have a lot of converts also that are coming into our church, and the priests are able to teach these converts. Many of them are young adults, young people, that are really searching for the truth. And so there's a lot of, the first words of the traditional Latin Mass, they quote from the psalm, I go to the altar of God who gives joy to my youth. And really, those opening words of the Mass are true in what you see in the pews there at St. Joseph's on any given day.
The late, great Yogi Berra, a lot of sayings. One was, it's deja vu all over again. Canon, when I go to St. Joseph's, it's families. With the dad, the mom with the babushka or the little doily on top, and 3, 4, 5 little kids, all dressed in a dress, slacks, etc. Impossible. The church is on fire. The parish is on fire. It's Latin Mass. Those families don't live right there. Where do they come from, and how do you explain? It's a miracle.
Well, the things of God will always attract, and St. Joseph's is a shrine that serves the whole Detroit metro area. And I would say that to liturgy, our faith is really timeless. It's not about going back to something, no, but it's rather it's connecting with the identity of our Catholic faith, how we pray, what's the substance of our prayers, the liturgical year, the lives of the saints, and also how do we stay connected to our Lord through the sacraments, but also through devotions, through spirituality. All that is really timeless. And so people today, young people and middle-aged people too, it's not about going back to something because I was born in 1981. I didn't grow up with this. It's something that is timeless and draws us outside of time to serve our Lord here and now today and for the future by focusing on our heavenly home.
All right. If you want to learn more, saint-joseph.org. All right. You mentioned young people. Curtis Martin started Focus, Denver, Colorado. And every year he has a SEEK conference, S-E-E-K, 4-day conference, the first week of January. It's for college kids. This is their Christmas break. The conference is not in South Beach or Vegas or Jamaica. This year it was in Austin, Texas, and Cleveland, I believe.
Columbus.
There were 26,000 college students at this 4-day conference. That's impossible. They talk about that the church is being reborn by young people and primarily young men.
Indeed.
Really?
I was there.
Really?
Indeed, Jack. I was there at SEEK for a couple of days over that weekend with two of our priests. We had a booth there just explaining and showing people what our institute is. And so many young people came by. So many seminarians from various dioceses came by as well to encourage us. It was really a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere of faith, of prayer. So many religious, so many young people searching also for a vocation or looking at different resources for their careers or for their future family life. It was also traditional Latin Mass that was offered by a visiting bishop in a nearby church just right near the convention center. And I was present there as well. And the church was overflowing with young people who were there for this beautiful traditional Mass. And so really, we see again that the things of God always attract. And where we live our Catholic identity, where we live that truth, the fullness of that truth, with charity, with kindness, with goodness, then God uses that to bring souls to His Sacred Heart.
Once a month, I get a newsletter from you, Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico. There's words in there that I've never heard before. That's from Pittsburgh, not the south side of Chicago. How can our listeners get added to your monthly newsletter?
Indeed. Our email newsletter comes out on the first day of every month, and it contains a spiritual meditation. There's also photos and videos, news about the growth of the Institute across the United States and beyond. There's also pilgrimage opportunities. Our priests lead pilgrimages around the world. Also summer camps, youth activities throughout the year. So it's a great email newsletter to receive. And you can get it on the first day of the month if you go to the home page of our website, institute-christ-king.org, the resource page, and you can see past editions of the newsletter. You can also sign up with your email address to receive it on your inbox on the first day of every month.
You were ordained in 2007.
Yes, sir.
So you've been a salesman for God and a great salesman for God for almost 20 years. When you're around these people, young kids, families, all over America, what's the biggest thing these young families have taught you, Canon?
Well, I'm inspired by their generosity. You see how they live a Catholic life. You see how they travel into Mass. You see their goodwill. And in visiting all these dioceses across the country, I hear a lot of confessions. I celebrate Mass in a variety of places. I visit the sick also. I'll be a relief pitcher and help out when our priests are on vacation and fill in for them. And everywhere I see God. I see people who are, you can hear it in their voice, their faith in Jesus Christ. They want healing through the sacrament of penance or the sacraments of the sick. They want the truth, the fullness of the truth with charity. You know that God is divine because no other force could possibly unite so many different people of all different ages, backgrounds, ethnicities to want and to make sacrifices for our faith the way that they do. So their generosity inspires me. Their faith inspires me. I see it in their eyes. I hear it in their voice. And I know that that is divine and that nothing else on this earth can compare to that.
Or you've mentioned this word confession a couple times where I have to go in front of a priest to confess my sins. Many people say that's nonsense. I just talk to God, tell him my sins. He confesses me. I don't have to go to another human being. Who are you to confess my sins and forgive me of my sins?
Well, it's not me personally, it's Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, he told his apostles, he who listens to you listens to me. And so he gave his priests the authority to act in his name to forgive sins. And it's something that, you know, we go to the dentist, we go to the doctor because we have, ailments, difficulties for healing, and we get medicine. Well, spiritually, so many people need that, and they want that assurance of being forgiven, which is given to us through that sacrament when we hear the words the priest utters in the name of Jesus Christ. And so really encourage people to get the confession. You might be a little nervous about that. Maybe it's been a while. But actually, when you go there and you confess your sins sincerely and entirely with true sorrow for what you've done to offend God, who's your Father and greatest benefactor, you're like, you know, that wasn't so bad. Why was I so afraid? And you'll have a sense of joy and a peace of being united to that in that friendship of Jesus who died for you upon the cross. And there's nothing that can bring you closer to Jesus in that intimate confession, realizing his goodness, how generous he is in forgiving us time after time, and worthy though we are. His generosity is just exponential. And so I encourage you to seek out a priest for confession. You'll be so glad that you did.
As our time winds down together, can you lead us in a closing prayer, please, Ken?
Let's turn to Mary Most Holy, she who leads us to Jesus. On this Lenten journey, Our Lady of Sorrows is with us. She knows our burden. She knows our difficulties. She knows what we go through. And so let's turn to Mary and ask her to translate God's will for us when it's difficult to understand. Let's ask her to pick us up when we've fallen and we feel that we can't get up again. Let's pray for to Mary to lead back to Jesus all of our family members and friends, those who have strayed. Let us turn to Mary Most Holy using those favorite words of St. Francis de Sales, his favorite Marian prayer, the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us.
And Blessed Virgin, keep Canon Tellerico in your womb, in your heart, that he continues to do fabulous work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.